time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of facing our giants. You know, everybody's, you know the story of David and Goliath and how he faced his giants. But what if we apply that story, you know, to our everyday lives of things we face? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's getting a new job. Maybe it's having a child for the first time or a child starting school. Anything. How do you face that and deal with it? Jeff?
I'm stuck. Again, the swirls. You talk. I'm like, okay, what angle are we going to talk about today? I was thinking, how about the giants? Just our own passions and desires. You know, the demon within, so to speak.
I wouldn't
know.
Sure.
Should I say demon? Can I say that? I mean the monster within when I say that. There's an ugly side to
our
us
our dark
all.
Side.
Yeah, our dark side. I mean, sometimes we're our own obstacle that we have to overcome.
I think most times that's usually the case.
Yeah.
Actually.
I mean, starting there and being able to, like, you try and whittle it down. What is the prime issue? And I can't get past myself. It's like, I think I'm the biggest problem I have.
Sure. I would have to agree with you.
Thanks, man.
Oh, sorry. Not for you. For me. But yeah, for you too.
You're my biggest problem. Totally agree with you on that.
Actually, it's Jeff. He's both our biggest problem.
I'm telling you, man. I'm everybody's problem.
Oh, Melanie's calling. She just said the same thing.
I gotta go, guys. You know, that's a fun question. Going on the small level to the big level, right? Let's think about this. Like, what are your big problems that you're facing right now? Like your giants that maybe you're not tackling that you know you've got at some point deal with.
Actually a good one that we just discovered this. I can't say we just discovered it this morning, but we discovered it's gotten a little bit worse is in one of our bedrooms here at the house. There was a small spot on the ceiling and we thought, oh, it must've just, you know, maybe some water sitting there.
Got a leak.
Yeah. And, you know, hadn't been an issue for quite some time. And, just this morning, my wife noticed it's gotten a little bigger and a little darker. So it's definitely an issue that we're going to need to get addressed, and to just continue to ignore and pretend it's going to go away. Obviously wasn't the answer, was it?
Well, yeah, if you just close the door and don't go in that room, there's no problem, right?
Well, the problem is it's one of the daughter's bedrooms. So,
well, just give her a closet somewhere. Then just call that the new bedroom.
It'd work a lot better if it was just my bedroom. I could just pretend I didn't see it. But
yeah, I tell you, those roof issues are not fun. That's not fun. I think we all have this to some degree, and I'm a pastor, so mine is the bleed over. I look at the church, and I don't mean like our local church per se. I mean the church abroad. I have this conversation often with my younger brother, and I worry about the future of the church as we know it. Like, how are we going to survive what's coming? I don't know if that makes any sense. Things are changing so rapid. I mean, you're kind of a new Christian, but you know, we're not reaching the next generation at the rate that we need to.
Sure.
So my point is, it's not sustainable. So short of some major thing happening where people come in the droves to the church, there's not going to be the financial support to support the existing system as we know it.
And
big buildings,
sure.
Well, and corporate worship, all those
things.
That's
what I was just going to say with the 501c3s, how much of that money is private and going to dictate those changes that you're talking about?
Yeah. Once you start running down that road, it becomes mind boggling very quickly. And you run into dead ends where you can't problem solve, but it is one of those things that
again, a lot of that's privately funded. So you're not going to solve the problem of where that funding is ultimately coming from.
Even if I came to the answer, right?
Sure.
I don't have the latitude to make the decisions necessary to ensure the future.
And I think actually that's one of our giants we face on more of a macro scale is the money flows and where it goes, in the sense of who's funding all of these different private organizations and so-called charities and whatnot, and what are they doing and who are they influencing?
You're saying like the people, the Machiavellian issue where there's people in the corners of the rooms while the rest of us are conversating and living our lives and whatever, they're back in the corner studying our behavior and how they can manipulate it.
Not only that, they're also holding you know, metaphoric strings to some of the people in the room that are conversating.
Well, sure, they're the money bags, right? Mm-hmm. It's the money trail. They're funding the research. They're funding the influencers. They're funding the politicians. All of that to do one sole thing, accomplish their end, right?
Their goals.
And nobody knows who they are, George. So what's his name? George, can we say his last name?
I don't know.
Man, by the way, that's a huge giant. The censorship issue today.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even, like we said, I said a pay thief last week, and it's like, can we even talk about that issue? Even though it's in the news that they're censoring people, but censorship is like the issue today. And you could be sued, Alex Jones. You can be sued for what you say, $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
What in the world? For just hurting someone's feelings?
Right. And ultimately, you know, in this country, even if you don't agree with what's been said, you should agree with everyone having a right to say what it is, whatever they want.
Right.
If you don't want to listen, you have every right to tune out.
Turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn it
right.
Off. Practice some self-discipline.
Yep, exactly right. But everybody should have the right to say what. That doesn't mean you should say it, but you should have the right to say it.
Well, we used to have it, and I what you're seeing is that's going away.
It is. I agree with you.
So again, on the micro level, giants.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. What are some giants maybe you could think of on the micro level that come across.
Well, an easy sidestep there is the shrinking pool of freedom. You know, we were just talking, you know, we were all in this place of negotiating, conceding. Like when you move into a neighborhood, you know, when you move in there, you're trying to protect your investment, this money you're investing here in your home, that you see it as a protection, all these rules. But when you live there, you start to see those rules become quickly oppressive, right?
Compromises.
Right, and you're compromising the whole time. But my point is, I feel like in the same way, we are every year negotiating for the sake of safety, always for safety, mm-hmm. always for our betterment. We're negotiating more and more of our freedoms to achieve that supposed
and
safety.
Each renegotiation, we end up somehow with a little bit less.
Yeah, yeah, and it's scary.
It's a good deal if you're on the other side.
Well, if you're the one that in the end benefits and you're steering the conversation, that guy in the corner again, yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
But the problem with that is no, we're not that person.
Oh, oh yeah, well, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, well, we're not on the other end of that deal or benefit, so.
I don't know that people are aware it's even happening. And yeah, but is there any one person that you would trust with that kind of power?
No. Not even myself.
Right.
Not even my own self. No so, one person should have that much power.
But somebody does.
Because what do they say? Absolute power corrupts
absolutely
yeah. all the time. Yeah, that's so, for sure. How about let's say somebody's getting ready to start a new job or they're having a new baby or just something that feels giant to them. What are some things maybe you would say of like a little three-step approach to help somebody maybe deal with just general circumstances of giants in life?
I would say look for people who've already successfully navigated that and spend time with the people you want to be like.
Sure.
Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. if you see somebody succeeding as a father or as a mother, which is what you want to be, a good mother or father, surround yourself with good mothers and fathers and you'll learn good behaviors of how to raise your kids.
And good tendencies.
Yeah. And the same thing with a job. You know, surround yourself with people who are trying to, it's any facet of life that you want to excel in, surround yourself with people who are successful.
And I think, I mean, ultimately, even with the story of David and Goliath, I mean, I think David kind of really shows us that no matter how big the giant seems, if you are willing to faithfully take it on, you come out the other side.
Well, David was the whole time, even as he fought that giant, there was always a primal drive in him, and that was the pursuit of God. And it colored everything for him. Everything. And that was the beauty of him being king, was that even in that leadership role, we're talking about who would you want to lead you, the idea was that if he was faithful with small things, and faithful to pursue God when it didn't matter,
mm-hmm.
he was more likely to pursue God when it did.
Very similarly to back when this country was founded, the founding fathers kind of seemed to follow the father.
Right.
And, right. you know, the ideals were as such.
Yeah, the freedoms that we used to have were all built on a biblical structure God gave us.
Yes, of Christian yeah. principles, absolutely.
Right. And and I know there's a huge debate. Some say, well, it wasn't a Christian nation. You know, it wasn't imposed. But the big reason many of them came over was for religious freedom.
Correct. And I mean, you should have religious freedom here. Sure. Now we have rules and society mandates being dictated by no religion at all. By chaos.
Well, the religion is give me. That's the new religion.
What can I do for myself?
Give me. And you, what can you, what will you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
What will you, yeah, I mean, it's all about, we are raising a nation of narcissists.
It's sad that, I mean, it's a perspective I've carried myself, not to a full extent like that, but to some extent, that's a perspective I've had. Well, how am I going to benefit from this? Or what's it going to do for me if I do it?
Right. I mean, there's one person we're in it for, and it's for ourselves. Man, we're really painting a happy situation, aren't we, with these giants? But they're real giants. These are real issues that, and again, that's the new, I said it yesterday in a sermon that, you know, we live in a time too where you're not allowed to call these things out because it's so negative, Tyler. If this doesn't make me feel good, where's my hopium? can we serve some of that?
Some hopium. Well, actually, we can serve some hopium because the power of, you know, good and evil, I don't know who said this, but the quote, the line of good and evil runs down the heart of each man. And, you know, just as much as maybe each person can have evil within us, we can have that same good within us as well. And if we choose to consciously act upon that and acknowledge the points in which we are, you know, we fall short and we are evil, I think the hope is in that. I think it would make a huge difference.
If you came to a place where you were going to run for office, you know, mayor, go bigger, governor. What?
No, thanks.
Okay, president.
No, thanks.
Okay, world leader, dictator.
All right, now you got me.
Okay, I got you. So you are going to have the opportunity to make one huge change that will benefit all of mankind. What would you do?
I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier in the show, but I think the biggest thing I would do is change the flow of money, where it's coming from and where it's going. I think if people knew the things they were really, really paying for as a whole, I mean, I think the general person thinks money gets wasted, but if they really knew what they were paying for, I think they would be very, very surprised, very shocked actually at that.
When you say change the flow, what do you mean? Like make it, make it transparent or something?
That one, yes, it would be transparent. And two, the people are paying for the majority of the things that happen here, but they don't get to see the benefits. Like all these programs that exist in the country are paid for by the majority, but the majority do not receive any benefits from the things they're paying for. What would yours be?
I think I would just be evil.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to be evil, but even if I say, no, I'm going to choose these good things. Here's the problem we run into. Every single one of us, like back to what we just said, we're still thinking about how this benefits me. Name a leader where they didn't use their power for personal gain in some way, shape or form. And that's where you see what I'm saying?
It's, I think, like, that'd be impossible.
Right. And that's my point. I, in the end, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think what I would have to say is this. What would I intend if I were trying to be good and be selfless and sacrificial, right? And whatever policy I'm going to pass or law I'm going to pass, I personally will not benefit from. Okay.
Okay.
I've got to create some parameters.
Because I also think there are people like, let's take, you know, the former president we just had, very well off before he was ever in office.
Right.
I think if he implemented a policy like I just described, his life would be just fine. Like, he's going to be just as well off anyway. Like, he's fine. So I don't think that it would necessarily be a sacrifice to him on a perspective of wealth, as much as it would be from social graces. Because he created, like, he actually built wealth to where most of the people within that circle are more or less grifters, per se. I hate to say it, but they're, you know, they're kind of grifters.
Well, how do I say this? There were people who financially profited from the 2 years that were supposed to be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking code here because we're in a place where you can't say certain things. And so there was a profit motivation. And I think what you're saying is because Trump was so independently wealthy, money making wasn't his motivation for being president.
I personally don't believe so.
Right. I think you're right. Because I saw him pull out of things that would have been a conflict of interest.
And I mean, if anything, now, once again, he did lose a lot of money by doing that. But when I said, like, financially, he's going to be fine, like, he's still very wealthy.
Yes.
But he did lose a lot in doing it.
He can't spend all of his money in his lifetime.
So the reason I would say I don't believe that he took office for financial gain is because he lost.
Right.
Financially. Like, he would have just stayed out of office and continued, you know what I mean, doing his thing.
Yeah. I think, to answer your question, is I think what I would have to do is what I think all leaders should do today is we should all be building parameters around ourselves that protect the public from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that there's no way I can do something and bend my influence for myself. It's always to better others.
And I think if you implement that open transparency, it keeps the dual accountability. One, in the sense of if you know you're always accounted for and accountable, I think it eliminates a lot of the potential corrupting capabilities that power has.
Okay, so I think I've got it. I think I'm going to mandate personal responsibility.
Mm. Personal responsibility, yeah. Huh?
I think that's it.
You mean I'd have to say that maybe it was my fault?
Everything you do, you are accountable for. You have to, whatever these standards are that we've established, right, that we have, you can't say, well, it's not my fault. I was born this way. I look what you made me do, whatever it is.
Sure.
And there's none of this plea bargaining, none of this buy your way out. Everything's transparent. Everything is right before you. It doesn't matter if you're poor or the richest person in the world. We're all held to the same standards. I see us running from that today. I don't think people feel responsible. It's not my fault.
Well, no, it's cool to be a victim.
Sure.
And once again, to be honest, that's not something I can't say that I haven't used myself.
Well, right. And
which is really easy for me. I mean, I have a built-in card for it, but I'm just like, it is something that I can say myself I've probably taken out of hand. Like, I've let somebody do things for me before that I probably could have done myself, or just because they were willing to do it.
I believe, for example, there's disabilities, like you're blind,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's not your fault if you don't paint a red car very well. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think that we need to be fair about the expectations. It's not fair to ask a quadriplegic to go run in a race. That's not fair.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to get in the weeds in that, but the point is, I think that we live in a society where we are manufacturing excuses for people who have none.
Somebody once told me that fair was the place they judge pigs.
That's funny. Oh, man, what a mess.
You think about it, though, just everybody's dealt their own version of different cards. And to some extent, if you want to look around, I guarantee you there is something in your life that's not fair.
Make something good of it.
Yep. Use it to your advantage.
Yeah, even there, even if you've been dealt an unfair hand, take the responsibility to make good of it.
Yep. Well, and I think you can use what's deemed as or considered as to be, well, man, why'd that happen to me? Or why am I this? Use your victim mentality and leverage it around. And usually it can be your greatest asset, your greatest benefit.
Whether you're unhappy, whether you're hungry, or you want more than what you have, take responsibility and earn it.
Go out there and get it.
Go get it.
That's right. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.
Blindly Obvious.